Amen and amen, folks. Salvation song is a good thing because salvation for all of us really is a good thing. So, you know, this is kind of what the message is going to be about tonight. So I seen one amen, so give me an amen to make sure this mic check is doing okay, because Discord did an update on this thing yesterday, and it's supposed to do something with the microphone. I'm looking at it. Apparently, it ain't working for me. So I'm going to have to dig into it and find out, you know, if their update is actually working or something is not quite right for me and my settings, because the microphone is supposed to be working differently. I don't see it. I still see it the old way. So anyway, I'm glad that you're here. It is Friday night, and I'm just kind of giving y'all a little announcement. When I get a little time to figure it out, I'll try to create a poll to see about what time to change these Friday night sermons, you know, to start doing them a little bit earlier. I can't do them later, folks. That's way too late for me. You know, this time slot was at one point catered to most of the folks on the West Coast time, but now we don't have many of them here no more. So, you know, I'm hoping, you know, with the newer folks that we get here, that can try to start inviting some of their friends to come here, and maybe this chat can start picking up, and then we can re-cater to some different time zones. So, you know, there's going to be some thoughts in the process. But anyway, here's the message. I was supposed to be preaching to y'all last week, but unfortunately a sickness got a hold to me. And many of you who are here, you know the issues I've been having with my voice, and it's been cracking on me and having problems. And I just kind of figured it was just my throat and my sinuses, but apparently it was more to it than that. I had a severe sinus infection. No telling how long that was, but, you know, I've been feeling bad for really a couple of weeks, but, you know, my voice has still been acting up longer than that. And I don't know if that's related to thyroid, but I found out my thyroid is not working, so they got me on medications for that. So we're going to see if there's been a difference or if there's a change or whatever. But at least I am doing better this week. I told y'all last night, keep praying because it's working. But here we go. And this is why I think, you know, the listeners who are listening to this sermon, I really hope that you pay attention to what's being said here tonight in this message. You that's here live, I believe many of y'all are okay. But maybe this is something to think about. You know, a lot of times I try to be led to help you go deeper, to get you to think, to get you to, you know, ponder on some questions, to ask the hard questions. As I was telling a dear lady Wednesday night at church, you know, my main goal lately in the last year and a half, 2 years, has been trying to challenge people in their faith, to challenge people in their Christianity, to see if we are what we claim. And me and Lisa was having a conversation in private message about, you know, some Christians claiming to be Christians, but yet their actions are not portraying what they are claiming to be. And I'm just sitting here dumbfounded by this. You know, that's not a person being led of the Holy Spirit when people do things, as we learn and seen and what happened in these chat rooms. You know, I just don't get it. You know, but that's another issue. But I want you to know, not too long ago, that we had what we call a one-day VBS at church. You know, normally when we do VBS, means Vacation Bible School, it usually lasts a week. But, you know, with this pandemic and everything going on, the church that I'm attending now, you know, they said, well, let's try a one-day VBS on Saturday, in which we did. Had a pretty good little turnout. It was enjoyable. But I had the privilege, when the director asked me to teach the mission class. And during the class that I was teaching, did I notice the scripture verse for VBS, which is going to be our reading verse tonight, but the scripture verse for VBS, and I was looking at it when I put it on the screen, and I was trying to get the kids to review it. So I was asking the kids of different age groups to tell me what this verse is really saying. You know, so we had, you know, all the way from fifth graders all the way down to pre-K. So, you know, everyone, a young child, thinks differently. But so I was asking him, okay, what is this verse really saying? So if you got your Bibles with you, our dear friend Lisa, she would post the reading scripture, which is the VBS scripture. So she's going to post it for you. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And this is what it says. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we thank you again for the little time that we was able to gather together here and the group that's here tonight. And we thank you for the fine folks who is listening. Again, you know, as me and my dear friend was talking about, you know, these folks are taking time to listen to the word. And as I was thinking of this morning, and I was thinking of yesterday, and I said it in the Bible study, I wonder why everybody who says they follow Jesus seem like they're no longer hungry to hear the word. They're no longer hungry to attend the online Bible studies. They're no longer hungry to attend at-home Bible studies that people that I know here in line that's doing them at their houses. Nobody seems to want to put forth that effort no more. And I don't understand it. You know, they're saying they love Jesus. They're saying they're committed to Jesus. They say they serve Jesus. But I wonder, why aren't they selling themselves out for Jesus? That's the thing that ponders my mind a lot. You know, we should be giving you our very best. And sometimes that means a sacrifice. Sometimes that means giving up time. Sometimes that means doing something we're not comfortable with. Sometimes, you know, it just means that, hey, we need to give it back to you. But I don't know. So I ask of you in the name of Jesus, deal with those people. Do whatever you got to do. Maybe I know you don't force people, and I get that. But it just seemed like nobody's hungry. I keep thinking about the passage when Jesus said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. I can't get that out of my mind. And right now, the way things is going on, I'm not saying it's out of control, but man, wickedness is just really getting crazy. And maybe that's the ultimate plan. Maybe all this is fixing to come to a climactic end. Who knows? We don't know the time, nor the day, nor the hour. So I ask of you to be with us tonight, bless us, put a protective hedge around us, and speak to the hearts of those who used to attend these online things to try to fellowship again. Speak to them. I hope they're listening to you and help their hearts change. So all this, we pray to you, we give glory to you. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. Now y'all seen the bot, you know, so y'all already know the titles, you know. That's why I titled this message, Are You Sure? Are you sure? And this is why I was led to this message. But see, as the day wore on in VBS, and we went back to what we call a rotation, you know, because that's what those kids did, because it started off at, I think it was like, 9 or 10, however, I forgot the time slot, but it started off and each group goes on a rotation because they go to different classrooms. So that's why they rotated. And then by time in mid part of the day, lunch, then that, you know, the group that started off in the morning comes back to the original class. So that's how VBS did. But as the day went on and we went back to the rotation to the first group, the fifth and the sixth graders, I asked them once again. See, I had a second part of missions. That's why I was teaching what missions was all about. You know, and I was going to show them a little video, you know, about mission field, what missionaries does. But I was led by the Holy Spirit because, see, that scripture verse in Philippians 1:6 saying, I'm sure of this, that he who begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. I was thinking again, you know, all day long, I said, I don't think these kids are understanding what that passage is saying. So I said, you know, so I kind of switch tracks. You know, the Holy Spirit is good at that because he does that with me in sermons. You know, I go through a lot and I prep and get everything ready. And then a lot of times when I get ready to go preach it, I'm led somewhere else. But as we went back to the first group of those fifth and sixth graders, I asked them once again what this passage is really saying. And once again, they all gave great answers. I loved every one of them. They were good answers. But it was not the one. See, in reality, when I heard them give their answers in the morning and the evening, they did not fully understand what that passage was really saying. I mean, again, look, great answers. But they were not understanding what that passage was saying. So like I said, the Holy Spirit led me on a detour. So I asked those young kids, okay, how about me asking you another question? Do you get what the last part means? And if y'all look at the screen, that's why I was asking them. I said, you know, do you get what the last part means? We'll bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And they all gave good answers again, but they still did not comprehend what that last part was saying. So I shifted gears once again. And here's what I asked them. Have y'all ever heard of the rapture? Boy, they kind of looked at me a little funny. Like, huh? What? The rapture? What's that? I said, so none of y'all ever heard anything about the rapture? The calling up of the saints? Well, no. So I gave them a quick meaning. And I asked them this question. I said, if Jesus was to show up right now while we're talking, would you be gone with him or would you be left behind because you thought that you really knew Christ? You see, because I told him how to explain, you know, when Jesus comes back for his saints to call us, you and I, those who are true blue born-again believers, it's going to happen. The Bible is very clear on it. Now, everybody's got different theories when it's going to happen. Well, you know, I don't care about those theories. The Word of God is true. It will happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. The folks like us who are alive in Christ will be caught up with those who are dead in Christ. It's going to happen. But I asked them, I said, now, here's what's going to happen if the rapture happened right now. Bam! I disappeared. And let's just say y'all three sitting here in an empty room wondering, whoa, where did Pastor Jim go? I said, see, that's what's going to happen in the rapture. Those who are true to Christ will vanish in a twinkling of an eye. And if you look up the definition of a twinkling in the eye, folks, you cannot even blink that fast. You can't. Not in a twinkle. You cannot blink that fast. Boy, when you saw that deer in the headlight looks when I said that to those kids, let me tell you something, folks. It really opened up more to sharing the gospel with them. And it ended up getting them to ask many more questions. Oh, they were cutting up at first, but see, when we got to that topic, they were locked on. And see, three of those young girls in that room, we had a young man in the room, unfortunately. He was just like, you know, doing this, looking at the wall, you know, like he didn't care. But those three little young girls, those fifth and sixth graders, they were locked on. I can see the real serious look in their faces. You can see it in their eyes. And I knew they were thinking, is what Pastor Jim telling me really true? Could that really be true? I mean, you can see it in their eyes, folks. I can tell, you know, like a lot of times when I'm standing in the pulpit, you know, especially if we're in a church and I'm looking out at you, I can tell when the Lord's dealing with you and when he's not dealing with you, when you don't care. See, a lot of times in church I see people like, see, they're not hungry, they don't care. They just dare to do a thing. But you can tell by the looks of many people when they are locked on to you, they are really thinking, is what that preacher really saying could be true? Could it be? So after the VBS was over with, and the following days had passed by, my mind was on those young girls day and night. Day and night. And I wonder, and I'm still wondering today, even preaching this message right now, I still wonder if they understood what their salvation really meant. When they say, yes, I said yes to Jesus. I really wonder to this day right now, do they still understand what their salvation means? And this is why I was led to this message, my friends. Look, I got a lot of hard messages. Look, I'm a hard preacher. Y'all know that. But I speak the truth because, like I said in last night's Bible studies, you know, when Jesus spoke truth, when he called out people and he really exposed sins, and this is why I'm led to do the same thing, he was hated. And a lot of people, when they told the truth, they hate it. They get mad. They get angry. But this is why I was led to speak on this, because it was weighing on my heart, those three young girls. Now, the little younger kids, I was trying to ask them the same thing. But, you know, their mind span, really, they couldn't fully comprehend raptures and second coming and resurrections and everything else. But as kids get older, believe it or not, folks, they know a lot more than they lead us on to be. Or they kind of fool us, because, see, they're soaking it up like a sponge. They know. But see, a lot of them, you know, like I saw that one little young lady, she said, yeah, you know, I was baptized. Okay. But she didn't know what the rapture was. She didn't know what the second coming. She didn't know what the resurrection was. She didn't know justification, sanctification. She didn't know these things. And I wonder if she's attending Sunday school classes and teachers are teaching them this. Because if they're not immersed into the Word of God or not being taught, how are they going to understand and learn what their salvation really is? And that's why, again, I was led to speak on this, and this is why we really need to think. And I mean, I'm talking about us right now here in this room, and I'm talking about you online listeners. When you are listening to this, I want you to think about this really, really hard. Don't give this a quick 30-second thought or whatever and blow it off and go do your thing this evening. Think about it. I have since I wrote this. And I've been thinking about it every day, even in prayers. Are we really saved as we make the claim to be? Are we? All right. Here we're going to go down this rabbit hole now, folks. Look at what 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 through 9 says. And everything that I'm speaking to you tonight is strictly from the Word of God. Look what it says. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. That's speaking a lot right there, friends. So now the question. How do we have assurance of our salvation? How do we know for sure we are saved? What is it that shows us how to have full assurance that when we die or breathe our last, will we go to heaven or will we go to hell? How will we know? And as Peter says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. In other words, based upon your desire to add these qualities in your life, make your calling and election sure and true. Are you really sure of your salvation? Are you? Now, I'm going to say something, and y'all know how I am, because I don't like beating around the bush. I preach the truth. I do have a backbone. If you want to take an x-ray of me, I'd be glad to let you take one of me to see. Does Pastor Jim really have a backbone to preach the truth? Yes, I do. So I'm going to say something that sounds mighty strong, and it may cause some to get a bit ruffled. But this is what the scripture tells us. It is not our profession of faith. Listen to this carefully. It is not our profession of faith that guarantees that we are saved. We can speak those words till the cows come home. You can say it all day long. Speaking your profession of faith, folks, does not guarantee we are saved. Listen to this very carefully. It is our progression in the faith that gives us the assurance. Let me repeat this. It is our progression in the faith that gives us the assurance. Meaning, you and I who said yes to Christ, if there's never, ever been any changes, like me and Lisa was talking about today, many people profess to say yes to Jesus, but most of their actions does not demonstrate it. You see, they may have made a profession of faith, but they may just be going through the motions. It is the progression in the faith that guarantees us the assurance. Now, you might be thinking, well, Jim, kind of almost sound like you're trying to tell us we got to work at it. Yes, you do. Just because you can say, well, yes to Jesus, get that broom straw, and sit back and just enjoy the ride that's going to guarantee your salvation. No, folks, it don't work that way because, again, there is a requirement on your part. Yes, and you do have to work at it. But you have to do it, and you're going to understand why I'm telling you how you have to do it. You see, the person who claims to be a child of God, but whose character and conduct gives no evidence of spiritual growth, is deceiving himself and heading for judgment. Sorry, folks, but the Bible is very clear. Without Jesus, you are heading for hell and final judgment. Get mad, get ruffled, get upset with me. Online viewers, you who's listening to me, you're probably going, click, I ain't listening to that no more. That's fine. But the fact is the fact. Without Jesus Christ, you are going to hell and will face final judgment. And let me repeat and emphasize, there are people in this world who says, yes, I am saved. I remember the day in my life when I repented of my sins, but I decided I don't have to live the way Christ wants me to, because I can do whatever I want because I said yes. I said yes to Jesus, but I'm still keep living like I want. Someday I may confess my sins, but not today. Folks, let me tell you something right now. The person who says this is the person who has no hope, no assurance. No hope, no assurance, the people who say those things. When you surrender to Christ, it has to be all. All is all. Not giving him sloppy seconds, not giving him 90%, not giving him 98% or whatever. All is all. If you said yes, you better mean it for real. You better let the Holy Spirit change you. But if you're going to say yes to Jesus, but look and say, well, hold on a minute, but I'm not going to change the way I live, I can confess it later on. Well, then again, no hope for you. No assurance, because if you die, if you're not truly with Christ, you're going to hell. So let me give you some more scriptures to show you what I mean. This is in the content of John the Baptist that's speaking now, and he's speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zealots and all the crowd that's on the banks of the Jordan. He's talking to them, and you remember them when you read the scriptures. You remember what he was saying to them. I mean, how many times we keep rereading of the Word and keep reading the Word? So I hope that you are soaking it in, that I hope that you're trying to dig deeper to look for more, because again, well, I did my one-year reading plan, but I don't have to study much no more. No, you should be studying every waking moment of each day. You should be taking the Word and soaking it in and looking for more, expecting more. But here was John the Baptist. He was speaking to them. And they, these folks that he was speaking to, they were the religious leaders of that day. And this is what John the Baptist said to them. He ruffled their feathers. Look what Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and 10 says. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Y'all remember that in our Bible studies, don't you? In John chapter 15, we're talking about the vine, verses 1 through 6. And then what it says in there in the vine, those who's not really producing, those who wither and dries up, they are cut off from the vine and they're thrown in the fire. So be warned about that, because again, if you're not producing fruit, Christ can probably cut you off and throw you in the fire. Whew. See, Jesus himself would say, by their fruits, or fruit, Jesus is speaking this, and it's in the Bible. He says, by their fruit, you should or shall know them. Do you know what the content of this is? Do y'all? Well, let me speak it to you and show you. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15 and 20 says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and 20, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits." Well, let's go a little further. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23. Pay attention. You better study those passages right there very carefully. The online listeners, listen to these passages very carefully. Matthew chapter 7, 21, 23 says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name?'" And listen to what Jesus tells them and those who are claiming to be followers of Christ right now, if they face them. "And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Oh, man. How awful that is going to be for someone who makes a claim to follow Christ and come to find out they never knew him. If that don't get you thinking, then I don't know what else, folks, because again, these are the words of God. And see, just as Jesus was telling these folks, not everyone will enter into heaven. And the fact is, not everyone will go to heaven. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this: "I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Meaning, you need Jesus. Without Jesus, you're not going to make it. And that's why Jesus was telling these folks, not everyone will enter into heaven. So at this particular point in that day of the VBS, my mind went to the look into the eyes of those kids in that VBS. I was praying. I hope y'all know Jesus. Because you don't know, you may walk out of this door and get in that van, and you may crash, and this will be your last. You don't know. We're not promised tomorrow. None of us is. Life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. And I was looking at those eyes. I was looking at their hearts. And I was praying, "Lord, let them see." And I was looking at their eyes, and I started to wonder. I seen the look they had, and most of them were likely thinking, "Am I for real? Am I for real? Is what Pastor Jim telling me the real truth? Is he? I hope he's not making this up." My friends, please listen. Online viewers, listen. Online listeners, listen. I dealt with a person one day coming back from Kentucky from a pastor's seminar. This guy's been in church for a long time, serving Jesus for a very long time. And the things that I was speaking to him, then he realized, oh no. You see, my friends, is why I'm trying to reiterate this. It is possible. It is very possible to say, "Lord, Lord, 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 Lord." But you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior. It's very possible. See, James himself even says, and we all know this passage. Again, that's one of my favorite passages too. James chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. And look what it says, and look at it carefully. And this is James himself speaking. He said, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, your faith, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Then let's jump to James chapter 2, verse 26. And look what it says there. "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Serious question many should be asking themselves right now. Those of you who's listening to this sermon, you should be thinking and asking this question right now. How can we have assurance of salvation and calling? How can we? Well, begin by asking this question. Ask yourself this question. What is the quality of my life? What is the quality of my life? In other words, is my life filled with trying to add these qualities that we know of and according to the Bible, such as goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, kindness? Or in other words, are we truly demonstrating the fruits of the Holy Spirit our way? Or are we letting Him, and I mean the Holy Spirit Himself, are we letting Him show other fruits His way? Which one are you allowing yourself to do? Are you trying to show fruits of the Holy Spirit your way, like Frank Sinatra used to sing a song, "I did it my way"? Or are you trying to allow the Holy Spirit to do it His way in you for others to see? Or is your light shining for everybody to see? Are you the light? Are you the salt of the world? Are you? Which one is it? I hope that you caught the qualities are all inward characteristics that eventually work themselves outward eventually. See, y'all heard me say a saying many weeks back, garbage in is garbage out. But see, Holy Spirit in, Holy Spirit out. Which one are you demonstrating? Which one are you showing? Which one are you truly living by? And sometimes it comes with a cost, a high price. But I hope that you understand, folks, everything in the fruits of the Spirit is done strictly through the power of the Spirit Himself, not of your works. While we can act nice, we can be kind, we can maintain some self-control, you know, we can go through the motions, but sooner or later, that ugly snake is going to rev his head up and it's going to strike. But if you're allowing yourself to be strictly led by the Holy Spirit, people will see that. They will see it. And like I said, yes, friends, look, it's easy to go through those motions. But unless you have these qualities at work in you from the helping of the Holy Spirit Himself, you're just going through those motions, and they will not last, and you are lost, and will lose out on the greatest reward you can have. You remember what I said? Not many who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter in the kingdom of heaven. Think about it. Well, how about this? Consider this story. A man said yes to Jesus. "Oh, yes, Jesus, come into my life." Eventually, he died and went to heaven. He had been richly blessed in his life. He had a warm personality and a special gift of gab that naturally influenced people. But rather that he used his talents to lead people to the Savior, he was known as a brilliant person, the life of every party. He also had a great deal of physical energy. It seemed as though he can go on forever. But rather than use his energies in service to Jesus' church, he spent himself in travel, sports competitions, and endless rounds of meaningless activities. To top it all off, it seemed as though he had the modest touch. Everything he did turned into money. But instead of using his wealth to support and spread of the gospel through Christian charity and missions endeavors, he lavished everything on himself. And when he died, and at the pearly gates, he was greeted. An angel was summoned to escort him to his eternal residence. They passed a beautiful, stately marble mansions with sweeping green lawns. And yes, Jimbo was cutting that lawn. But as they walked past that house, and the houses gradually became smaller and smaller and smaller. And finally, they came to a small, unfurnished, tar paper shack. "This, sir," the angel said, "this is your heavenly home." "What? Oh, whoa, wait a minute here. Hold on, Nellie. This must be a horrible mistake. I was a wealthy man. I had everything. I did everything. Oh, let me tell you, sir, this will never do. I said yes to Jesus. I lived that good life." "We're sorry, sir," the angel said. "We did the best. We did the best we can do with those materials you sent us." Now, of course, we all know that's not the way heaven works. They don't build materials out of things we do on earth. But oftentimes, that is the way we live our lives here on earth. We settle for the tar paper shacks that this world has to offer us instead of the abundant life that Christ came to give us. And what's more, it's those qualities at work in our lives that gives us full assurance of our salvation. It's not a feeling. Feelings change day by day. It's not memory. My memory ain't as great as it used to be, because sometimes memory fails us. It is the assurance of the Scriptures that if we live a life of godliness, these qualities or qualities, we have the security to know we are saved. Again, it is assurance of Scriptures that if we live the life of godliness with the help of the Holy Spirit and stand strong in your faith, surrendering yourself 100% to God, then you, my friends, have the security to know that you are saved. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. I want to remind you of the words in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. And this is what he's telling us. And I see this with many people I dealt with in this Christian chat room. Again, me and Lisa was talking about that. You know, look, folks, I'm not bragging. Please, don't take it this way. But I started running this chat back in 2011. Many people came and gone, came and gone. Many came, got upset and mad or whatever, left here, built their own site, and stole from this one. More new ones coming here, get mad, left the site, and stole from this one. More coming here, get mad, build a site, stole from this one, and on and on and on. And I was reminded about those folks in this passage. They're showing me their true colors. Because it says right there, if we say we have fellowship with him while walking in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. We lie and do not practice truth. Those folks that used to be part of this fellowship who's left, caused discord, run around in PMs and DMs and say, look, I built a new site. Jimbo, you know, y'all need to get away from him. He's not true. He's not of the spirit. He's not this. He's not this. Come to my site. You see, they're lying. They're not true. And if y'all who used to be part of this listen to these online messages, yes, I'm calling you out just like Jesus did. I spoke truth. You didn't like truth. You hated me because of the truth. And that's what we've been practicing and preaching in our Bible studies. You hate me because the truth was spoken. And I always spoken the truth. Always have. But yet you still go out and create sites, and yet you leech off of this one. Shame on you. Woe to you, as Jesus would say. Because you're walking in darkness. You lie because you're not practicing the truth. Also in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. And this is what it says. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him truly, the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever said he abides, oh, that's the word abides. Whoever said he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Maybe you're thinking right now, what am I trying to tell you in this message? What I want you to understand is this. Anything else, if you don't get it, that's fine. But I want you to at least walk away with this message to understand this. How can you be sure that you belong to Jesus Christ? See, folks, this passage gives two ways to know. If you do what Christ says and live as Christ wants, what does Christ tell you to do? Very simple. John gives us the answers in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. If you do what Christ says and live as Christ wants, what does Christ tell us to do? Exactly right there. Look what it says. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another just as he commanded us. And many who came through this chat room, I can tell you right now, they lied. Because where is the love? If we was doing as this passage told us to do, we all would be in fellowship. And we got problems. We got flaws. We got issues. But we should always see that in love. True Christian faith results in a loving behavior. That is why John says that the way we act can give us assurance that we belong to Christ. And I want you to know that you can have full assurance of eternal life. It means that even though sometimes we fail, we still have salvation in Jesus Christ by what He did for us on the cross, and abundant life here on this earth, and eternal life in heaven. Because again, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this. And I love this passage, folks. Wonderful. For by grace, y'all say it with me. I know I can't hear you, but say it with me. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's by grace, folks, that we have been saved through faith. And one more little thing to go a little further with. Because of this, what we just said, we can be assured once again, according to Philippians, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, which is the reading scriptures, or the VBS scriptures, however you want to call it. And I love it, and I think maybe they understood once I helped them understand. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to the completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And this means of being able to enter into the kingdom and hear the words of Jesus. This means for us to enter and hear the words of Jesus. This is what we all want to hear. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Woo-hoo. I want to hear those words. I don't want to hear, depart from me, you cursed thing, for you never knew me. I hope I don't hear that. I hope I don't hear that. You see, someone once wrote this. I forgot where I found it. It said that the Christian life begins with faith. Faith and believing in the Word of God. But that faith must lead to spiritual growth. Unless it is dead faith. Dead faith does not grow. It's dead. But dead faith is not saving faith. Dead faith does not save you. It doesn't. Faith leads to growth, and growth leads to practical results in life and service. People who have this kind of Christian experience are not likely lost. And those who does not have this experience are lost. Let me put into terms to explain how that I've been going through this passage, to this reading passage. Let me put it to this way. As we put the qualities to work in our lives, you and I have full assurance of eternal life and a heavenly reward. We are sure that we have a reward in heaven. How do I know this to be true? Simple. It's because Christ's divine power is at work in all of us. Not only will that give us assurance of eternal life, but we have the certainty that we can experience abundant life here on this earth. The life that Jesus came to give. That's why I love this passage. It gives us full assurance of eternal life and life. Live life to its fullest. Because again, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not. How are you living today? We have sufficiency. We have a certainty. We have a guarantee. And yes, as I said, it takes an effort on our part. Because we got to put it in too, in order for it to be shone out. It takes adding certain quantities. And that gives us full assurance. That gives me full assurance, you full assurance. That gives us full assurance to be able to say these words. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Amen. Let's pray.